Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Daily Tech News Show is made possible by you right there listening. I'm in your ear. Hi, how's it going? Thanks to all of you, including John and Becky Johnston, Chris Benito, Steve Iadarola, and brand new patrons. Everybody, welcome in Flo, Antonio, Hoosier Diva, Caleb, and Anthony.
Yay!
Hey.
On this episode of DTNS, YouTube rolls out a redesign for creators, but is it any good for us viewers? Plus, why Walmart bought Vizio, and Lamar Wilson explains why you need the right size tablet, not the biggest. Maybe the biggest, but not necessarily. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, February 20th, 2024 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Animal House, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Also in Los Angeles. It's the Los Angeles Day.
LA Day.
Indeed.
It's sunny LA.
Square, you know, it's about time Los Angeles got some representation in the world of media.
I wonder what Dr. Dre is doing. Maybe he could join us.
Well, let's give him a little ring.
Lamar, call him up. Yeah. I don't know.
Later this week.
I need a script.
Meanwhile, let's start with the quick hits.
11 countries teamed up on Operation Kronos, resulting in the arrest of two operators of Lockbit ransomware, as well as the recovery of the keys to unlock victims' encrypted files. Authorities also seized more than 200 cryptocurrency wallets. French and U.S. authorities also issued three international arrest warrants and five indictments against other members of the operators of Lockbit. Two of the indictments are against Russian nationals. Operation Kronos was headed by the UK National Crime Agency and coordinated by Europol and Eurojust. The US FBI, Japanese police, and the UK's NCA and Europe have developed a Lockbit 3.0 ransomware decryption tool available to anybody at nomoreransom.org. Lockbit has been used in attacks on Boeing, the UK Royal Mail, car company Continental, and most recently, Bank of America.
Sony's PlayStation Portal does one thing: stream games from your PS5. And if you don't have a PS5, it's not terribly useful. However, it does have some local storage, so two engineers from Google decided to make it a little more useful, developed PPSSPP. Don't try to figure out the acronym. It's an emulator to run games for defunct PlayStation Portable. The old PSP, the old Sony PSP, on the new PSP, the PlayStation Portal. The developers showed it playing Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories. Andy Wayne, one of the developers, said it took him about a month to get the software to work and required no hardware modification, just lots of sweat on the software. Wayne says they need to do more work before they can release it to the public. They want to, you know, show off some videos maybe this weekend. Meanwhile, in other Sony news, analysts think Sony might be gearing up to release a decidedly non-portable PlayStation 5 Pro later this year to help prop up sagging console sales.
PPSSPP is a beautiful palindrome. Mm. Just pointing that out.
Easy to remember, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Adobe has added some generative assistance to its Adobe Reader and Acrobat applications. The new tool can summarize PDFs and answer questions about what's in those PDFs. While other large language models like ChatGPT can also do that, this is built into the software that you're using to read the PDF, so no need to upload it to a separate tool. The assistant is in beta and available now on Acrobat and coming to Reader over the next few weeks. Adobe eventually plans to release a subscription plan for the tool as well.
Samsung announced expanded support for AuraCast, A-U-R-A. That's a Bluetooth feature that lets multiple headsets, like lots of headsets, access audio from one source. Think TV at the gym. Everybody in the gym can, you know, connect their Bluetooth headphones to the one TV. That means older devices, though, are getting support for AuraCast. That includes the Galaxy S23, the Tab S9. They will join the S24 and Galaxy Buds 2 Pro and a bunch of high-end smart TVs from Samsung in supporting the feature. Samsung also announced live translation coming to the S24 and Galaxy Buds, rolling out globally. So they've rolled it out in some markets, but it's going to come to everybody. And Samsung's surround sound 360 audio is also expanding to include Neo QLED and OLED televisions.
Tinder is expanding its increased user verification requirements to Brazil, Mexico, the U.S., and the U.K. In addition to a short video used to verify photos that you're using to, you know, I don't know, date people are accurate, the expanded system also requires identification like a driver's license or a passport. The system has been in testing in Australia and New Zealand, and verification is optional on Tinder, but the company says, if you're a verified user, you have more matches and you're safer from things like romance scams. Mm-hmm.
Well, over the next few weeks, YouTube is going to roll out a redesign to creator channels. So when you look at the channel, you'll see a big old subscribe button right up at the top. It'll be easier for you to find it. It'll be right next to a play mix button. If you don't want to try to figure out what to watch, you can press that and it'll shuffle a bunch of top content from the channel. And that will all be up in front of a new 16:9 channel banner, edge to edge. That'll look great on a television screen. YouTube recently announced that top creators' watch time on TVs had grown 400% over the last 3 years. So they are trying to tweak that design to be more TV friendly. Lamar, you were on YouTube early, establishing your channel there. You have a much more wide-ranging strategy these days, I know, with TikTok and Instagram Reels, but you know, you're still posting over there on YouTube. What do you make of this change?
It's interesting. Every few years, YouTube tends to slap on a new coat of paint on the site, and you know, it can be refreshing. It's nice to see something new. I think there's some creators who welcome changes like this. I kind of think of my MySpace days where all of us could tweak our page in different ways and make it our own thing, you know. But then Facebook came along and said, and it got the more popular, and they didn't let you do that, and we were all kind of okay with it. So I don't know if the audience cares as much about this as I think some creators will. Me personally is like, oh great, I got to figure out how to make yet another banner and then make sure it has all these you know, things that it's, so it can be seen on TV, but it can also be seen on tablet, and also it could be seen on phone. And it's like, okay, great. I have to do this again. So, I think it's fine. I think some of the other features, the remix button seems really cool. Maybe some discovery of some new content. I just think these slaps of paint that they put on there are fine, but I really wish, that's the cynical part of me, just really wish they would focus more on, like, we still got some moderation issues to take care of. We still got better discovery of talent and creators. We got, you know, and I know multiple things can happen at once, but it just seems like when those things aren't taken care of, hey, look, here's something shiny and pretty. That's my slightly cynical take on it.
I mean, coming from the creator side, obviously, yeah, you're sort of like, all right, I got to make a new banner and this and that.
Yeah.
What I thought was really... I don't know, it kind of blew me away was the fact that, again, top creators, not all creators, but there are a lot of people watching YouTube content on traditional television sets. And that is it, that's just a different experience. I would say more of a, you know, kind of kick back and maybe watch some longer form things, or I don't know, you know, watch your playlist on your couch type thing, but not on your phone. So I think this is designed to be more of a pleasant experience for those of us who actually like watching stuff on the TV rather than a mobile device.
Yeah, watching YouTube on the television has become pretty regular for us. And sometimes it's long form stuff, but sometimes it's before we watch a TV show, We watch a bunch of 3 or 5 minute things that we like. But the one frustration I have, yeah, it'd be great to make the subscribe button easier for people to find as a creator. DTNS has its own channel. That's great. As a consumer, I want to be able to find that subscribe button easier when I find a channel I like. But how do I get to the channel? Like, this is to your point, Lamar. Like, was this the first thing you needed to fix? Because right now it's really tough to get to the channel of a video you're watching. You have to, like, you know, scroll up and then highlight this. And then press that, and then it starts to play another video, and then you got to hurry up and highlight the channel. Like, there are some other priorities, even just in the UI, I wish they would fix first.
Yeah, and most people will never see your channel. I watch 90% of my YouTube viewing that I watch a few hours a day, probably on average. And I love the TV app, but I rarely go to people's channels. And channels is where all the pretty banners would be. I can't tell you the last time I saw someone's banner on something, you know, because it's, if you're watching a video, it's not going to show that. Yeah. Now they have,
and you just
cool,
sit in the recommendations all the time, right? That's what most of us do.
Right. And they got some cool features. I like that you can scroll comments now on TV. You didn't used to be able to do that, like, very comfortably on the side. So I can, like, read comments and things while I'm watching a longer form video if I want to see other people's perspectives. So there's some cool things about it. I like that they're adding new features. I just don't know if those things translate to the audience saying of feeling more satisfied.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when it comes to, like, the banners and things like that.
Well, Walmart announced it will acquire TV maker Vizio in a deal valued at $2.3 billion, a move designed to help boost Walmart's advertising business through Vizio's SmartCast operating system. Vizio has more than 500 direct advertiser partnerships due to its Vizio Platform Plus business, which the company says now accounts for most of the company's gross profit. Walmart already has an existing ONN in-house brand of TVs, but owning Vizio will help the retailer better compete with affordable smart TVs from the likes of Amazon and Roku. Now, groceries account for about half of Walmart's sales, but also have thin margins. CNBC also notes Walmart has sacrificed profit in the last couple of years by investing quite a few dollars in the billions to build out its digital operation. So, new revenue streams can help offset Walmart's heavy spending and boost profit if all goes well. Lamar, this sounds a little like Amazon. Should Amazon be worried?
No. No. Sorry, I don't mean to be. I think Amazon will be just fine. This is coming from someone. I have a Walmart Plus subscription. I like Walmart. I don't see this being a problem. Like you mentioned, they have an existing brand on that's been there for a while. Mm-hmm. Vizio, yeah, and like I said, and Vizio's a well-known brand. I have a Vizio TV. Vizio has had some problems in the past. Like they were the ones at least, you know, out there getting the most attacks because of the ad thing where you, like, it's tracking you on your TV, personalized ads, and Walmart now wants to basically do the same thing, so, you know, and now it seems like, oh, it's okay now because we're used to it. Because I think you mentioned earlier, Tom, that other brands do this as well. Like, it's
every smart
Vizio
TV does this. Every smart TV operating system does it. Vizio,
on some level,
Vizio had some controversy around disclosure of it, but what they were doing was not particularly unusual. It was just the terms of service weren't telling you all the things they were doing.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I think Amazon would be just fine. They have so many revenue streams. It's crazy.
You know, the whole. I happen to know somebody who works for Walmart Digital. So, you know, I was hitting him up earlier today, like, tell me everything. And he was like, I mean, it's kind of what it sounds like. You know, the Vizio business for us helps us advertise in places that we just can't advertise otherwise. You know, how many pieces of, you know, something that you would find in a Walmart retail store can advertise to you? Television, great option. So, yeah, that's what's going on here.
Yeah, and Walmart advertising its own stuff is the smallest slice of this. What they want on Vizio is to sell ads to other people. And that's where they're coming into competition with Amazon, because Amazon is also wanting to sell ads to other people, not only on Amazon.com, but also on the Fire TV OS and placing ads elsewhere on other websites. You can have Amazon traffic ads, and websites can use Amazon to traffic ads, which is really what I think is going on. Walmart's not getting into competition with Amazon so much as Walmart is saying, we want ad revenue. We want to sell ads. We want ad revenue to be a big part of our business now. And that's really interesting when you think of the fact that Google is facing questions about whether it can continue to bring in ad revenue with AI possibly reducing search traffic. And there's a reduction in search traffic for other reasons too. People just going to TikTok and Reddit directly and things like that. So there is more competition in the ad market now than ever. And it's interesting to see, as maybe search declines as the place for advertising, Walmart sneaking in and saying, you know what? One of the big growth areas for advertising in the future is going to be the television interface. It's going to be showing you an ad while you're clicking around whatever platform you have. So let's get one of those platforms.
So is this going to be kind of like the, this is not exactly a perfect analogy. I was thinking of like the McDonald's model where, yeah, you know, they're really in real estate, but they happen to make burgers. Is Walmart going to be like, yeah, we're actually an advertiser, but we happen to sell groceries.
I mean, they'd like that. That may or may not end up being the case, but it's like Amazon's a cloud company, right? Like AWS is the biggest part of their revenue. These companies do more than one business. You have to keep that in mind. Walmart has other businesses too, besides retail, but they would like this to be a growing part of it. And I'm wondering if they regret selling Vudu now to NBC, because that could be another part of this piece of the puzzle.
It seems like a way to get some of that back. Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't even know where a Walmart is near me. I'm sure there is one in Los Angeles somewhere. I'm not going Torrance. In there. But, okay, it's in Torrance. Great.
I've been there.
Still not on my way to anything. So probably not going to Walmart anytime soon. But I'm in the market for a new TV. Price is right on the Vizio. Now Walmart has me as a consumer.
Well, that's an interesting part of this too, because we mentioned the On brand. Mm. I'm curious. I think Hisense might make the On brand for Walmart, but I wonder if they will for much longer, right? Because Walmart owns that name, so they can just switch who makes it, and it would make perfect sense to have Vizio start making the On brand TVs, and then you'd be buying either a Vizio or an On brand TV, or they might just retire the On brand because Vizios are pretty much a bargain brand to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, Lamar, it was so fun to have you on Apple Vision Show with me and co-host Eileen Rivera yesterday. If you're sitting there wondering, what is Sarah talking about? We do a new show. Myself and Eileen Rivera host a brand new show, Apple Vision Show, and we talk about all things Apple. Is it the Vision Pro? Is it about foldable iPhones coming in the future? Is it various sizes of iPads that I know Lamar has a lot of feelings about? Every week, we do our thing, and we would love you to join us. Join us every week at applevisionshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Matt.
And Sean.
From Two Black Guys.
With good credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about those iPad sizes, Lamar, because the iPad line has become a little, I don't know if I want to call it confusing, but it can be a little bit of a, you know, you're crippled by choice. You have screen size, CPU power, you have price, all things to consider when buying a new unit. While people equate bigger with being better, not always the case with the iPad. So let's talk about what you did recently. You swapped an iPad mini for an 11-inch iPad Pro, only to come back to the mini. So what's going on there?
Yeah, the song Baby Come Back started singing, playing in the background. No, mini, so yes. Yeah, so I owned the latest iPad mini. I think it's the sixth generation, if I'm not mistaken. Had that for about a year or so, a couple years back during the pandemic, and I loved it. I love the form factor. Yes, I'm a person who uses a Pro Max phone, but I still wanted something a little bit larger, you know, just for those Candy Crush moments. Don't judge me. I love playing that on there.
You and lots of other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And doing other work with it, you know, but then the Pro came out, and I love the Pro. The Pro, I got the 11-inch one, and by all accounts, everything on it is better. Better screen, better refresh rate, you know, 120 hertz, and M2 chip. Face ID is superior, in my opinion, to the Touch ID. A lot of people don't agree with that. But so by all accounts, it's a better one. But what I found is that it was just – I wasn't using it. It was heavy. It was heavier. And I was like – but I do – like that form factor, what is the problem? I think I discovered that my 16-inch MacBook Pro was the issue, because my MacBook sits in front of me most of the day. Even if I'm not in my office, I bring it down on a TV tray, have it in front of me. So that size, and then trying to go grab an iPad didn't seem to match up.
They were too close to each other in your use case. It sounds like. Yeah, yeah.
They were too close, and so after, and I just, it just was collecting dust, and it wasn't getting used, even though it is the better one and a more powerful one. So I decided a couple weeks ago to go back to the iPad mini, and I instantly just refilled back in love with it. So, you know, people on video I'm holding it here. And what I use this for, I'm a comic book reader, the digital. So that, and novels, self-help books. This to me is such a one-handed, easier format for those things, and also playing, you know, Apple Arcade games. I'm trying to think of some other, I always say more reading, more multimedia. I don't really do video as much with it, because if I'm in my living room, I got a big TV in front of me, so I'm not really doing much of that. But for consuming any kind of reading or games, it's so light. Now, is it as fast as the? No, it has an 8 chip. It's by all accounts, it's an inferior device. But what I found, guys, is that, you know, I guess the moral of this story is that, you know, just because it's, you know, the iPad
just because
Pro is
it's
better,
fancier doesn't mean it's better.
Doesn't mean it's better. You know, I found out, I was looking at some Reddit posts. A lot of people have the same dilemma, and I was finding that they were going back and forth too. So I thought this would be kind of helpful to tell people about this, you know, this dilemma, because it's tough. You always want the best thing, especially when you're in tech, and this is not the best thing, but guess what? It's the best for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what counts.
So the fastest chip isn't always the best chip for you. Like, don't make your decision just on that. I think that makes sense. You noted a lot of entertainment uses for this, but you're using it in your work too, right?
Oh yeah. I use it as a, I don't want to call it a teleprompter, but yeah, a note. I have it like behind the camera, propped up so I could read notes. And I couldn't do that with the bigger one, because it would get in the way of the camera. Little things like that. It's in the kitchen with me for recipes and you know, things like that. Again, digital books, but for work, it's very, very useful.
Now, you know, it's funny. I you mentioned having the Pro Max as, you know, the larger mm-hmm. iPhone, and because of and I do as well. I just can't imagine going back to any smaller phone at this point in my life. But because of that, the iPad mini has always felt like a strange bridge device where I'm like, it's slightly bigger than my phone mm-hmm. and it's an iPad, but I could just have a bigger iPad. And, you know, I think we're all different in that way.
Yeah. I thought the same thing until the MacBook came in that account. Because uh-huh. I started, you know, if I leave the MacBook up here, and I went and I just say, hey, downstairs, I'm going to use my, I would have been using the 11 inch every single day. That would have yeah. been, you know, I would have got the keyboard, been perfect, but I didn't. So it was just hard to justify that in my head. Well,
it's interesting.
Weird conundrum.
Because I'm sure somebody out there might be thinking, well, but wait a minute, you could have used the 11 inch tablet the exact same way you're using the mini. Why didn't you?
I think the main answer is
just feels better.
Feel. It's lighter. It's weird. I find it easier in my eyes to read. It feels like a book. When uh-huh. I want to read a novel, I want to read a self-help book. It feels like I'm holding a book. I'm a first generation Kindle owner. I had the first Kindle and I love that form factor. And so I resisted the larger Kindles when it came out. Because I'm like, no, that's too big. I don't want a magazine reader. I want a book reader. Yeah.
Well, and maybe psychologically, too, there's something to be said about a form factor that doesn't feel like a computer. I mean, it is a computer, clearly. But something that's a little different from that MacBook Pro that you sit down and use for certain stuff. I'm there on that.
As soon as you add a keyboard to that tablet, suddenly you're like, well, I should just use my MacBook, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's what happened. And I was just like, I might as well just bring that down because I just get things done fast. I can multitask on iPads, obviously. But it's just a few more steps. And I'm like, my MacBook is right there. Mm-hmm. Why am I making this hard? So I just focused it. But here's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know from your listeners and your viewers, like, do they have this kind of dilemma? And let's put the, you know, if you're not an Apple user, let's put that to the side. Maybe
there's all kinds
you,
of
you look at the, you know, there's an Amazon Fire tablet, and that's hugely popular. A lot of parents buy that for their kids, and a lot of them buy it for themselves or to like manage their smart home. You know, there's different uses for those smaller tablets, and I'm wondering, you know, you mentioned a tab, right? A Galaxy tab.
Galaxy tab, yeah, right.
Yeah, I'm just curious, you know, what's the percentage of people kind of facing the same dilemma and maybe made a decision? It's like, you know what? I like this form factor.
Yeah. It downsize your tablet. You don't need all those rooms, you know, it's just more parts of your tablet to have to keep clean. You know, it's just, you know, time to move out, get something smaller.
Yes. A smaller form factor means less cleaning.
Less screen.
Not to like.
To wipe down. All right. Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. Michael wrote in response to the top five computers that found a second life as gaming consoles and said, wait, was the Nintendo Family Computer, Famicom, not a computer before it became a game system?
That is correct. I mean, it's a computer in the way we were just talking about how tablets are also computers because they've got chips in them. But yeah, it was never really touted as a computer the way the computers in this top five were. The computers in this top five were meant as home PCs, home personal computers that you could, you know, do spreadsheets on. Famicom was never really marketed that way. It was kind of marketed as a family computer, but it was always a game console first and foremost.
I don't remember this thing.
The Famicom was just the original Nintendo, right? Like, and they only called it the Famicom in Japan right? For that reason, because we in the US, we would have been like, this isn't a computer. This is a game console. Why are you calling it that? And then I said, oh, our mistake. It's an entertainment system. The Nintendo Entertainment System.
Well, speaking of entertainment, Lamar Wilson, you entertain people far and wide every day. Let folks know where they can keep up with how to be entertained by you.
You can follow me at Lamar Wilson, that's Lamar with two R's, at all the socials except X. And if you want to know more about me and biography and all the places, you go to lamar.tv. That's my website. Appreciate it.
Indeed. And check out Apple Vision Show, where they're talking to Lamar about the Apple Vision Pro, because you have an Apple Vision Pro, right?
I do.
And, oh, yeah.
And that also changed some reading.
We threw it down yesterday. It was really fun.
Yeah. Because we now know where the laptop and the tablet fits in Lamar's life. If you're like, okay, how's the Apple Vision Pro fit in that? Go check that out, applevisionshow.com. Yeah. Patrons, the conversation does not end here. Stick around for the extended show, Good Day Internet. There's a Korean pizza chain out there claiming to use robots and AI, and it's expanding. It's succeeding. It's showing up in more parts of the world. We talk about how much that might be true, that it's using robots and AI, and whether it matters when the chain is super successful.
Just a reminder, you can catch our show live because we do it live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 2100 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. And we're back doing it all again tomorrow. Hope you'll join us.
The DTNS family of podcasts, helping each other understand.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.